Okay, I think...
I have an amendment, Chair.
Okay, Lawrence, you'll have to wait for
Alan for the stack.
Okay, hold on. There is no stack yet.
Okay,
okay, I'll let you know. I'll keep you in mind. I'm trying to have clarified something with the election supervisor. I think the election supervisor read a portion from California Corporation Code that cleared up that issue, and we're almost out of time.
It didn't clear up the issue. That's the point.
Okay. Well, right now we're on a different motion about the deposit, the necessary deposit. And Lauren,
why is PFW included in a deposit motion if they're not going to have an election? Why do they need to have a
Chair, was I recognized? Did you just say Lauren?
Yes.
Was I recognized? Because I think this would address Serene's concern also. So I'd like to amend I'd like to submit an amendment to the motion that that at WPFW, those candidates be elected by default, and that the California Corporations Code be observed in that decision.
Okay, right now we're not discussing that. That's not the issue. It's not in order.
It's an amendment. It's not an amendment that's in order?
No, it's not an amendment that's in order.
I think that the WPFW LSB would have to do that. I can look at that, but I don't know if...
May I finish?
Yes. Okay, wait a minute.
I didn't mention which station.
Yes. Correct.
My motion was that the station that had the money, and we talked before, that KPFT expect $133,000 in the last 14 days of September, it means I didn't mention any station. My motion was that the station that have the money come up by September 30 to give the down payment for the printing of the ballots.
Thank you.
I second that.
Okay, hold on a second. But Adriana, but the recommended language was necessary deposit, right? Okay.
Right. That's a flexible number. Just say necessary deposit.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you. Okay. And Jenny Kay, you're seconding?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any objection? This is on the deposit. Okay.
Can you let me know when amendments are in order?
Hold on.
We are at time on our extension, Madam Chair.
We are at time, and if somebody wants to move to extend, we can do so.
Wait until 10 minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second, Jim Brown.
Okay, guys, we can go over.
Perhaps there's no objection.
I haven't gotten there. Okay, so now we have a second, and I know what to ask. Is there any objection to extending? Okay, no objections to extending for 10 minutes. And, Brian, can you keep us to that firmly, please?
Madam Chair, may I be recognized? This is Alan.
Sorry, I'm
Chair, can I ask one amendment to an order?
Okay, there's no motion on the floor, but Teresa, go ahead.
I can anticipate that there will be a motion on the floor, but I would just like to be on record that it's a real matter of concern that STV is concerned about people having a right to have a candidate. If you just automatically don't have enough candidates and you just give everybody a shoe-in, then how in the world can the voters say, we don't like somebody? There is no way for them to say, we don't like somebody.
Thank you. Okay.
Janet Kay, point of order.
Yes, Janet Kay.
Isn't there a motion on the floor, Adriana's motion?
We passed it. Did we pass it?
Yes.
We passed it without objection.
Oh, okay.
But Lawrence had an amendment.
Right. But it, it was out of order. That wasn't what Lawrence is advocating, was not an amendment to that. We've passed the motion. It's gone. He wants to make a new motion. We don't even have an agenda item here with it, but go ahead. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, well, I was just by Teresa Allen to a motion, believe it or not. Thank you.
I couldn't even understand that, but are we done? Okay. Can we move on with the agenda, please? The next item on the agenda is Tony, would you please share? Tony?
Okay. Yes. How much time do we have on this item on the agenda?
10 minutes.
We have 10 minutes? Okay. We have 10 minutes on this item. We got our timekeepers. I guess Brian is still keeping on the issue. Who's keeping each person's time?
Is Brenda keeping the person's time and Brian the item?
I'll time the item if you can get everyone else to mute, Tony.
Okay, could everybody mute? Could everyone mute? So who's
Thank
keeping
you.
The time again?
I'll time
the
item,
Brian.
Brian.
And the individual is Brenda. Brenda is timing the individual.
Okay, we have 10 minutes on this item. Okay, Lydia, you want to present this item?
Yes. In February, we passed a motion which was originally a longer motion which encompassed what I'm amending. And it was necessary. It was very important because of the audit and all of the situations that we've encountered and were just described by our controller, the necessity of having oversight by the business office, in particular the CFO, over the business managers, including hiring and recommending them to be fired when necessary. And however, unfortunately, the amendment cut out the general managers, which as we know, because they're the ones who know who the checks and who the vendors are and are on site, that they also need to still be involved with what goes on financially at their office and the budgeting necessities as required by the bylaws to provide for the LSBs, et cetera. So my amendment is going to be now called GM and CFO Hiring and Supervisory Authority of Unit Business Managers. When hiring for the position of a station's business manager, the CFO and the respective station's general managers shall jointly screen and select a pool of candidates from which the CFO shall hire the station's business manager and the, I'm sorry, that. Well, jointly, from which the CFO and GM shall hire the station's business manager. And duties and responsibilities shall be clearly delineated jointly relative to the supervision by the CFO and those by the GM. And both the CFO and or respective station's general manager may initiate the process to discharge a respective station's business manager. However, to effectuate it, both the CFO and the GM shall agree to discharge said business manager. And if the CFO and the GM cannot agree, the decision shall be made by the Board of Directors. And I'll strike two. I see some typos. Okay. That's the motion.
Janet Kay, I second. Yes. I second Janet Kay.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Anyone want to go on the stack on this item? Is there any discussion?
This is Brian. I have a question.
Yes, Brian.
So I'm comparing the two versions, Lydia, and it seems like the only substantive change from the previous one is that instead of saying the CFO supervises all accounting functions by the business manager, it says authorities shall be delineated without saying how. I guess my question is, what's the problem with having accounting functions supervised by the CFO?
Well, some of the issues I would have to discuss in executive session because some of those examples would be relative to executive session. But the main issue is as I already explained, is that there are specific functions and checks and balances which the auditors are constantly calling us on every single management letter since I've been on the board from the beginning of time, that we do not have enough checks and balances. And so what the business, what the national office is not in a position to do is to know the faces of who they're writing the checks to or the vendors that really exist. And those are some of the issues that have come up. And also to require the reporting by those business managers to the finance committees. I know A doesn't have one, but other stations do. And for the budgeting process, that is also necessary. And so, no, I don't think it is just as you characterized it. I still advocate that the amendment is what I am asking people to vote on.
This is L.J. Williams. Do you need me to stay on?
No, we passed your motion. Thank you so much. And
okay.
I'm sorry.
Janet Kay, may I? I hope that we can get to the election committee, at least the first motion, and it would be good if the NES stayed on. And I hope that can come next because we're running out of time. Thank you.
We can quickly through this, so.
Just a clarification. I would love to stay on, but as you know, I'm on East Coast time, so it's a quarter to midnight, and I also have like a newborn at home. So if you like, is it really really necessary for me to?
No.
If not. My baby will be up in like an hour.
Thank you, L. Joy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion on the motion that Lydia put on? Brian, will you finish with your inquiry?
Yeah.
Any further discussion on this motion? Is there any objection to this motion? Hello? Is there any objection to the motion? Okay, if there's no objection, then the motion is passed.
Okay, great.
Okay, Lydia, we send it back over to you.
Yes, thank you very much. Brian, the motion from the Finance Committee on the repayment of the loan for KPFA.
So the language of the motion is in Appendix B of your agenda, which is on page 6. The motion is as follows. Move that the PNB reconsider the terms of repayment to KPFA for the PNB approved advance of $55,000 from KPFA to the Pacifica National Office to pay the outstanding balance for the 2013 audit. Instead of having its central services credited to KPFA as repayment, the Pacifica National Office, upon receipt of CPB funds, shall assign to said advance priority status in its repayments to KPFA. The Pacifica Foundation thanks KPFA for its much-needed advances to Pacifica's national office and other Pacifica units in recent months following KPFA's bequest windfall. Should I explain it, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
What we originally proposed as a board was that KPFA advance money to get the audit started and that it be paid back by not paying future central services. Because three other stations have not been able to make their central service payments, the national office has become almost entirely dependent on KPFA and KPFT for keeping up with its goals, with its bills. Which means that if KPFA were to say, well, we're skipping our payment this month because we already advanced you money for the audit, the national office might say something like not making payroll or not making a payment to a creditor that's part of a court-supervised settlement agreement. What we're proposing, I mean, the facts on the ground are KPFA hasn't withheld any central service payments because it would break the organization. The motion is asking the national board to change the language of our resolution to suit the facts of what's already happening. And the next opportunity where there might be an influx of cash would be if the CPB money is reinstated post-audit. Then we'd like to see KPFA paid back out of that.
Okay. is there any objection to the... Oh, wait. Oh, no, it's a committee motion, doesn't need a second. Is there any objection to this motion?
I have a question.
Yes, Adriana.
Yes. We are talking about the being paid with when the money from the CPB is coming back. Do we have any real idea if that will happen? I think that is for John, please.
In all honesty, the only thing we can do is come in compliance with CPB, having our audit completed and meet the other public meeting notices and so forth that are posted on the website. Once we meet all of the qualifications, then we can assume that's a positive discussion with CPB. I don't think there's any way of guaranteeing that CPB will exist a year from now, quite frankly. But I think assuming that the worst doesn't happen and Congress doesn't defund CPB, which they always threaten to do, then we should get back onto the payment schedule.
I'm sorry, John, that I interrupt you, but I know that the audit is important and we must have it, but it, like you say, it's not the only reason. I already asked about the specific thing that are violations from the CPB requirements, and I don't receive any answer from anybody. I send it to the national office, to the KPFT management, and I can prove those things, and I think that we are jeopardizing the whole CPB money coming back. And I don't understand why we are not pushing a little bit more the stations to do what it's supposed to be doing, because even if we comply with the audit, we will not still in compliance.
Well, I hear you. There are specific things we need to take care of them. I know that in terms of the meeting requirements and so forth, we do, I think, it seems to be a fairly good job. But if you see problems that need to be rectified, please bring them to my attention again, if you would, and I will get back to you on it.
Yes. Madam Chair, we're now at time.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Are there any objections to this motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. And now we're going to go on to a time-sensitive election motion. Bob Letter, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Can you please get us there?
Yes. Thank you. There are two motions that the PNB Elections Committee has adopted in the past month and a half that are immediately applied to the election process underway. I'll start with the first one concerning candidate cart airings. And this amends a previous PNB policy adopted in 2009 that required that each candidate shall have her or his card aired a minimum of 30 times in a variety of times of day and week. That's 30 times over the course of the entire campaign. It's been felt by several successive program directors and general managers that in different elections that was excessive, that it intruded too much on programming, so that the new formula is being recommended by the Elections Committee, and it reads as follows. During the balloting period, candidate carts will be equitably rotated so that in the course of each week, each candidate is heard at least once in each period of a weekday, and then there's five designated periods: morning drive time, midday, afternoon drive time, late evening, and overnight. And no candidate is heard twice in any given day period or week period until each other candidate has been heard. Similarly, each candidate shall be heard at least once in each day part of the weekend, with no candidate being heard a second time until each candidate has been heard at least once. If any candidates are heard an additional time in any weekday or weekend day part, all shall be. And then the final piece is that total daily minutes shall be at least one-third of the number of candidates with carts grouped as the local election supervisor sees fit, except that during station on-air fund drives, total daily minutes for airing candidate carts shall be at least one-sixth the number of candidates. In addition, there shall be a link on the station website to the candidates' audio carts online. And then just to explain a little bit what this would actually mean numerically, if there are, for example, 24 candidates at a given station, no fewer than 8 minutes per day shall be used for carts. If, which I think there's only one station that actually approaches this number, if there are 50 candidates, no fewer than 17 minutes per day shall be used. And during fund drives, those minimums would be cut in half. And just very briefly to motivate, as I said before, the current policy is excessive. The other issue that had come up and why there's all that language about different day parts and weekend parts is that there have been complaints at several stations that the schedule for airing was skewed towards certain parts of the day, and that some candidates were heard more in high listener times than others. And so this is an effort to even that out, make it equitable across the day, across the week, and allow every candidate to be heard, but not to unduly intrude on the the programming that listeners want to hear. And it would be on the responsibility of the local election supervisor to work with the program director to make sure that schedule that the LAS prescribes is adhered to. So that's it.
Janet Kay, okay. To the staff.
Yes, excuse me.
Brian, staff.
Bob, so that's the first motion you want us to vote on, right?
Right,
that you're
correct.
This was passed by
and then
committee.
There's a second one on on-air forums or debates.
Okay, let me take the first one. Janet Kay, Brian.
Okay, so I'm wondering whether this would be effective immediately, because I know that at KPFA already this week the carts being played, some people have been heard more, played more than once, while others have not been played at all. But I have an amendment, and the amendment would go to the end of the paragraph beginning with during the balloting period, and the amendment would say, each station's TV and GM shall give their respective LES access to the station's logs of candidate carts in order to allow the LES to verify adherence to the cart rotation policy. That's it.
Okay. Can Janet repeat that?
Yes, I was going to ask her the same thing. Janet, would you please repeat that?
Yes. Each station's program director and general manager shall give their respective LES access to the station's logs of candidate carts in order to allow the LES to verify adherence to the cart rotation policy.
Alan, for the stack, please.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Adriana Seikon.
Alan.
Oh, okay.
Lydia,
okay.
This is Bob. Could I answer the first question that she asked about when it goes into effect?
Yes.
My understanding is that this, because the card playings have started at some stations, that this should go into effect immediately.
Okay, and somebody will have to move to extend past our mandatory adjournment time of midnight.
Jim Brown. 15 minutes.
Alan will second that.
Okay. 15 minutes? Okay, without objection, send it for 15 minutes. Thank you. Okay, so where are we? Okay, so
Alan
Janet,
asked to be on the stack.
Yes, I heard you, Alan. So we have an amendment on the floor. Brian, did you want to speak to the amendment, or did you have something else?
Separate.
Separate? Okay. Alan, did you want to speak to the amendment?
Yes. I'm in favor of the idea of the amendment. I'm just wondering if it isn't already a given that the LES should be able to see those logs and adjust things accordingly. I mean, and the LES is already the person that's responsible to make sure that things are played properly and would get with the GM and the PD if they're not. So I would think it would be a given that the LES would be looking at those.
Jennifer, may I motivate just briefly,
yes.
Very briefly.
Okay.
So I know that in the past, at least one station, an LES was asked for these logs and was not provided those logs. So that's why this language,
right.
I want
Thank
that
you.
Language added.
Okay, Benito to the
Okay, okay, I guess it's Benito because I don't have, Brian wants something else. Go ahead, Benito.
Okay, so I support the idea of Janet's amendment, but I wonder whether that would really solve the problem. And here, Jim, as being a programmer, should speak to this. He would know better than I, but I think the problem that we have experienced, at PFW at least, and I'm sure we're not alone, is that what's written on the log don't mean a damn thing. People write what they want to write. And that doesn't mean that cart was actually played. So anyway, I would ask Jim to elaborate.
Okay.
This is
Jim. If you need me to.
Okay. Adriana and then Jim. Adriana, Jim, and Lawrence. Okay, Adriana.
Yes. I have that very clear, involved in two elections, 2010 and 2012, and I have the report for those two, and I know that what they supposedly, the LESs, prepare a schedule, but when management don't put it or programmers don't play it on time, it's totally unfair. I have the report with percentage was made both elections and nothing never happened. And the elections normally are totally unfair. What I think that we need a little bit more of teeth in our motions. Need to be consequences. We were told in 2012 that we are consequences because the KPFT at least didn't play it the right way. And nothing happened. And I think that we are in the same situation, and when we discover what happened, it's too late. I think that it's about time that we take measures, and if the cards are not being played in the right way, should be somebody held accountable. We must.
Thank you. Okay, Jim?
Yeah, I think this would be a great way of having someone to monitor the actual airing of those candidates. And also, it would give the station and also the candidates a bit more of security in terms of understanding and knowing that someone is actually monitoring the rotation and the airing of the cards. So it works well. Since
okay, thank
the,
you.
There'll be someone other than people in the station monitoring this, because people in the station may want to protect a particular a programmer who may not air the tapes. But this guy. This election supervisor will have to do it because he doesn't know these people, and he has to do it. He has to monitor it, and I think there ought to be something done to those programmers who don't air the cards as promised.
Thank you, Lauren.
Benito to the stack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lauren.
So
I support this motion as is. The only thing that concerns me is that it doesn't have more teeth. Because a real example is that there may be some programmers who may not like a candidate, and when their rotation comes up, they may not play it. And so I believe that there should be some kind of consequences, some sanctions in regard to if something like that happens. And in real life, it has happened. So, I support this motion because it's a good start, and I support it as it is.
Thank you, Benito. And don't forget, we still have another motion to go, and we have to adjourn by 9:15. We're past our mandatory. Go ahead, Benito. Well,
okay, so just quickly. I agree with what Jim's saying, but I don't think that that's what maybe I didn't understand Janet's motion, but I don't, or amendment, but I don't think it was saying that the LES would be able to actually monitor the playing of the card. I think that if I heard it correctly, it's just simply saying that that the LES would get the report. And so what I'm saying is that the report is nothing but an exercise in imagination or initiative on the part of programmers. Like I said, they just write what they want to write. So whether or not it's on the line does not mean that it was played. So we need a way for, I think, I would say a friendly amendment to Janet that she reworded to reflect that the LES should be monitoring or have a list of when those cards were supposed to have been played and have to monitor it. Of course, that means paying out money to the LES.
Okay. And so, if I may just clarify, I think that this is a, I don't know if all the stations have traffic managers, but I think that our ED, if he's still on the call, could certainly follow through and make sure that that what is being aired is in the traffic log. But I'm not sure if that's appropriate at this point, but. Anyway, anybody else? Who else did I have?
I have a quick question. And so in regards to checking the logs, and is that like doing the sound checks, checking the sound checks?
No. No, we have a traffic manager, and I don't know that we could require the LES to listen to all to your station 24 hours a day. I don't know how else you would recommend that they monitor beyond what is required of a traffic manager and of a station to keep accurate traffic logs. You're now getting into FCC requirements and so forth that I'm sure that that John could make it a point to look into.
This is George with the SPAC.
Yes, George.
It seems to me that the amendment is fine as it is. The necessary thing to find out whether or not what's actually being broadcast on the air is what's going into the logs is that the LES has access to the logs. If there's a suspicion or a complaint, I'm not being run. She can check it out, or he can check it out in the logs. And so I think this is fine. I'd like to move on. I can't call the question because I've already spoken, but
right,
I would
of course.
Like to move on.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there any objection to this amendment? Okay. Hearing no objection, the amendment passes. Is there any objection to the motion as amended?
Brian here. I wanted to propose a second amendment.
Oh, right. That's right. I'm sorry. You wanted to speak to it before this amendment. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
I want to replace the opening clause that says during the balloting period.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize for how wordy my replacement is, but what I'd like to replace it with it is for a length of time determined by the National Election Supervisor after the close of nominations and before the ballot return deadline.
Can you send it by email and did you want to motivate?
Yeah, I think the balloting period's narrow. A lot of people from both factions at our stations have pointed out that you want to get people looking for their ballot, which means you probably want to start running carts before ballots go out. Also, in regards to this particular election, my station bent over backwards to get carts on the air early so that they wouldn't be in conflict with our fund drive. And so that they wouldn't be in conflict with the promotional carts we air for our fall author talk schedules. So we've been running carts across the day's schedule, and the narrow language that says it only counts if it's during the balloting period would basically make us keep running repetitive carts for what sounds like 3 months straight. It would really harm our ability to use that interstitial time for other things. So I just want a little bit more flexibility about when the window of time is. And that's what the language is meant to accomplish.
Janet K. Okay. For the stack.
Janet.
Okay, so one of the changes, I think, or at least the LES at KPFA believes that the carts are not to be run during fund drives. This, whether that's the case or not, I don't remember, but this the main motion says that the carts ought to be run during the fund drive, but not as much as when it's not a fund drive. So I just wanted to
Margie,
you know, if this is going to go into effect immediately, it would affect that.
Okay, so was that speaking against the amendment?
I'm actually not sure what the could the amendment be repeated? Sorry,
or emailed to us. Okay, Margie. Meanwhile,
I'm sorry. I just wanted to correct what Janet just said is not correct. What the LES sent out was a notice that during fund drive carts there would be less time spent on playing carts, and that the full schedule would resume when the fund drive ends. But it's not that she did not say that carts would not be played during the fund drive. That was
she said it was illegal to run carts during the election.
She did not. I
have an email. All right. Anyway.
Okay. We can do email wars later. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Brian, can you send us that? Or did you?
I have. And I think, you know, this is a question of what the policy is. It's separate from whatever KPFA's local supervisor is doing right now.
Okay. And you send it.
Do you want me to reread the?
Yeah.
The amendment.
I thought I heard someone else on the stack though. Okay, maybe not. Okay, go ahead, reread it.
So the first clause of the proposed policy is during the balloting period. Strike that and replace it with, quote, for a length of time determined by the National Election Supervisor after the close of nominations and before the ballot return deadline.
Isn't that the same thing? Can you delineate the difference? I assume
the balloting period only starts once ballots go out.
Oh, I see. So you're saying at the close of nominations, you're expanding the length of time. Is that correct?
Yeah, but, you know, subject to the National Election Supervisor's judgment.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, is there any objection to the amendment?
Is there a second? Is there a second?
I second.
Yes, Adriana seconds. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the amendment passes. So now we have the main motion as amended. We had it amended first regarding the carts and the traffic issue. And then we have the Brian's second amendment. So that we are now voting on the motion as amended. Are there any objections to the motion as amended? Hearing none, the motion passes. Bob, you now have 2.5 minutes to motivate the second motion, and I recommend someone else is going to have to extend the last maybe 10 minutes or so. Or
okay.
15.
Thank you. All right. So this
somebody has to move to extend. Anybody?
Jim Brown.
I would object to extending, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But I move to extend for 7 minutes.
Second.
This is Tony. I would object to extending.
Yeah,
I think
that's right.
Setting a bad precedent to go over our mandatory time. We just vote on it and move on. Because we're going back to the day. Well, how late we're going, I don't know. We're going to keep extending.
Okay. So, Lawrence, your motion is 7 minutes. Is there a second for 7 minutes?
Jim Brown.
Benito.
Okay. And, Bob, that's probably just long enough for you to read the motion and vote, okay?
Has this been approved, the extension?
Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay, does anyone object to the 7 minutes? And actually, we do have objections, so you'll have to call the roll. Tony, do you still object to 7 minutes?
No, I'll objection, but I think it's a bad precedent. No, I don't have an objection.
Okay. Is there no objections to it? Going once, going twice? Okay. We're extended for 7 minutes. Bob, go. You're on.
Okay. So this concerns the on-air candidate forums or debates. The current policy says that there should be 3 on-air candidate forums of 1 hour in length for each 5 candidates. Again, the concern is that that's excessive amount of airtime. So the proposal is as follows, that during the balloting period, airtime in the morning, afternoon, and evening in blocks of 1 hour for discussion or debate hosted by an election supervisor shall be provided in sufficient quantity so that no such block will feature more than 4 to 5 candidates. Each candidate shall be scheduled for a single appearance with scheduling determined by the LES. The specific intent here is to equalize the access to the air so that, for example, we don't have a forum with 7 candidates and another one with 2 candidates, or in situations of established slates or cross promotions, we don't have domination of one group or another within the same block of time. In order to provide equal access to the listeners, each debate shall be played in or just next to both drive times plus once in the evening. Where fewer candidates appear than were anticipated, the LES shall provide to the candidates the approximate amount of time that they would have received if the full complement were present, and shall use the balance of the time to provide generic election information and for Q&A between the LES and the audience. The program shall include call-ins, except that staff shall not call in during listener forum. These programs shall be archived with a highly visible website link, and that audio shall remain available until the NES directs otherwise. That's the end of the motion. I will just note, stepping out of my role as chair, that I did not agree with the amendment to require that the debate be replayed in or just next to both drive times plus once in the evening. I thought that was excessive amount of airtime, but that was the vote of the committee.
Okay, and is there...
Point of information, Chair?
Yeah, all right, sure.
Question, Bob. What was the vote total in terms of for and against?
On the amendment that
yeah.
I disagreed with? I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay.
Not particularly relevant at this juncture, and we're almost out of time. So... are you recommending, Bob, that someone move to strike the excessive?
Brian, so moved.
Okay. A second to that amendment?
Point of information?
Yes.
George, if you strike that, what's left in terms of when it's supposed to be played?
Yes, it would be required... that basically once, 1 hour for each 4 to 5 candidates, once during the entire process, during the entire period of campaigning.
was there any discussion as to whether, in case the LES is not available, another programmer could substitute, or you want
that,
anyone?
That topic wasn't discussed, but I know that there have been complaints when that happened in the past that there is unfairness, and so, you know, I'm sure the LES could arrange someone that they considered neutral, but not necessarily a programmer. But that's just my personal opinion. It's not addressed by the motion. I just think we should, you know, assume that there'll be discretion by the LES and NES as to how to handle that sort of special case.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the amendment is to strike, where's the language? I'm looking at this.
It's the third
paragraph.
Yeah.
Third paragraph? Okay. Any objection?
Yeah, George, I object. It seems too little and too easily the positioning is, you know, could easily be manipulated. I don't say that it will be, but or even just by chance, there'll be fewer opportunities for people to hear some than others because there's less listenership. It doesn't seem to me that excessive over the entire period. And I presume that, again, the question of what is the balloting period means essentially from now to the time that the ballots are cast. That's a lot of time. I don't think it would be excessive to leave it the way it is. But I'm going to vote
Janet,
Brian here. I'd like to motivate my amendment.
Point of information. Janet K.
Okay. Go ahead, Janet.
I would like to know, I mean, Brian, can you email the exact language that is being, that you want to strike? Because I can't understand, can't find what is being referenced.
The third paragraph of the motion.
Which starts with the specific intent?
No, of the motion,
oh,
in order to provide equal access.
Okay, so that whole paragraph be struck?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Brian, go.
Look, I'm just thinking about this as a radio person. If we turn our ear into something that drives listeners away, then the elections are pointless. And we don't repeat anything three times on our radio stations that I'm aware of. You're talking about taking the same debate and repeating it three times, and most likely displacing locally generated programming. And we know that at most of our stations, barely 10% of the people who are listening are actually eligible to vote. I mean, we live in the age of the Internet when people can seek out information, when we can play an announcement saying, if you want to hear the whole debate or if you missed it, here's where you go online, and people can make a date with the audio that way. We don't have to force feed it to them like Brussels sprouts. A radio station full of Brussels sprouts is a radio station without listeners, and a radio station without listeners isn't going to have elections, much less anything else. So, I really agree with Bob. We can't just turn into nonstop navel-gazing, here's our own elections business.
Okay, we got it. Thank you. So, can we call the roll, please? Janet Kay.
Alan?
That's fine, Janet. Go ahead.
Alan? We're voting on Brian's amendment, right?
Brian's amendment to strike. In order.
Got it. I got
okay.
it. Okay, thank you.
Alan.
Can you hear me?
Now, yes. Just say your vote, please. Now I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? Hello?
How do you vote?
I say yes, thank you.
Alan, yes, thank you. Argleta. Can't hear you. Burden. Can't hear you. Jim Brown.
Yes.
Jim Brown, yes. Steve Brown.
Yes.
Steve Brown, yes. Castanade.
No.
Castanade, no. Coleman.
Yes.
Coleman, yes. Diaz.
Pass.
Diaz, pass. Edward Secret.
Yes.
Edward Secret, yes. Fuentes. Oh, he's not. Coburn passes. Lane Ewart is not here. Mark? Can't hear you. Medina?
I'm going to abstain.
Sorry? Abstain? Medina abstains. Norman?
That's correct.
Yes.
Norman, yes. Rabin, not meeting. Ryder?
No.
Ryder, no. Reyes?
Yes.
Reyes, yes. Robert?
Yes.
Robert, yes. Tucker?
Yes.
Tucker? Tucker, yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson, yes. Going back, Agueta, can't hear you. Burden, can't hear you. Diaz, you passed.
Yeah, I'll vote you.
What is your vote?
Yes.
Diaz votes yes. Coburn votes no. Mark. Okay, let me count. I have 11 yes, 3 no, 1 abstention. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Yes, I vote yes.
Bazan votes yes, so that's 12 yes, 3 no, 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. So now I don't even know if I need a motion to adjourn because we're at time.
Wait. We have to vote on the motion as amended.
Sorry. Vote on time. Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary. And so now we will vote on the motion as amended. Are there any objections? Hearing now. None. The motion passes and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.